Hey guys, welcome to this episode of Girl Talking Mas. And I am here with one of my favorite people from San Antonio, Roma. Thank you so much for joining us today. I am so happy to have you on.
Happy to be on. This is going to be a wonderful girl talk. So thank you for the invitation.
Absolutely. And you guys, if you don't know, Roma is the amazing and beautiful host of Great Day SA on Ken's 5 here in San Antonio. I want to thank you so much for joining us and, you know, sharing your story, because you are by far, like, when I met you, you just bring like the positive, inspiring, I don't know. When I look at you and when I see you and then I kind of know your story, I get fearless. Like, that's like my word that comes with you. Like, you just have, and you have this like little fire inside you that like never goes out. I don't know why. Like, that's the feeling I get from you. And I don't know, like, you know, when you connect with somebody, that's just what it is. And that's what I get from you. And I just feel like you've had this little fire inside you that has gotten you through everything that you have been through. But before you came to San Antonio, you know, you are from California, but I know you definitely had like a long journey of ups and downs. And before we get into all that, I just want you to tell us about your like upbringing and your background, because I think it's just so interesting to hear like where you come from.
Absolutely. You're so kind for your words. It means a lot. And I think you nailed it. I've had a lot of fire in me. Definitely. I'm a fiery person. I'm a Scorpio. So to start with, that's where the passion
comes. By the way, happy birthday, because it's Scorpio season.
Yeah. Hey, is it still? Yeah, I think it's still. No, it might not be anymore, but it's okay. It was
just
like
ended then. Okay.
Yes. No, but that's perfect.
Yeah.
But you're right. I think something in me, even though when we're going to talk right now about how I grew up, it wasn't really that way for me. I grew up really, I felt really alone a lot, but we'll get there right now. Mm-hmm. So basically, yeah, I was born in San Francisco, California, Bay Area. Bay. I always represent for the Bay.
Yeah.
And when I was 7 years old, I moved to Anaheim Hills, California. Mm. My mother and father were both born and raised in Mexico. My mom was from Jalisco. My dad is from Mexico City.
My dad's from Jalisco.
Okay.
Yeah, from Arandas, and he's from a little town, even smaller, called Santiaguito. I don't know if you've ever been there. It's like a little small town.
Not.
Yeah.
It's a small town too.
Oh, wow. Wow.
El Grullo, which is it's a town known for its musicians, which is pretty fitting because I love music so much.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so they were both born and raised there. They came to the United States in the 80s. And actually my mother had come earlier for kind of like boarding school opportunities. And that's how she learned English, went back to Mexico, met my father. They came to San Francisco, and that's where I was born. My father worked for Folgers Coffee. Well, when he first was in San Francisco, he was a bartender at a place called Las Mañanitas in the financial district.
Oh, wow.
And then he had an opportunity to work at Folgers Coffee. He was there for many, many years. And then when I was 7, Folgers shut down. So we went to Sunny Delight in Anaheim Hills.
Ah.
And my mom was a stay-at-home mom, but man, she was, you know, the rock, the heart and soul of our household.
Absolutely.
But she did clean houses as a side gig. She never had a license, so her clients would always pick her up and take her, and all her close friends were her clients too, which is pretty interesting to look back on and see mm-hmm. how she was able to do it and just have her own little dinerito for herself.
You know? Make her own little side hustle.
Exactly. And yeah, when I was 19 years old, my mother died of lung cancer. She never smoked a day in her life. Like I said, she was the most, just like, we called her the encyclopedia, because she knew everyone's, she was one of 11. And so she knew everyone's birthdays, addresses. She was just so sharp. And when mm-hmm. we started noticing her decline, we knew it was not normal. It wasn't menopause. Mm-hmm. She was around, she was 51 when we noticed, and that's, she died in her 51st year, but we noticed mm-hmm. a lot of things in September. And then in January of the following year, she passed away.
Oh my gosh, so, that's so fast. And so hard to deal with that 17-year-old.
Yeah, 19, know? Yeah.
Or 19.
Like, I mean, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's a teenage, you're like, wait, I need my mom right now. To
yeah, this one, like, exactly.
Yeah, so it was a whirlwind for my family. I have an older brother, Nakor, who is 40. So we're 5 years apart. I just turned 35.
Yeah.
That's okay, though.
Yeah.
I'm healthy and I'm alive. But
yes, so yeah, amen.
That's, you know, I was raised in a really traditional Mexican household. My mother was very into her Catholic faith.
Yes,
which
same here.
I believe it's what caused a lot of friction between us.
Mm-hmm.
And not the religion, but her beliefs and how traditional mm-hmm. she was, and how honestly, she was so innocent still. And I admire that so much now. You know, back then I thought it was super annoying. And my mom doesn't get me. Oh my gosh. But you know, I was growing up in suburbia America, and she is from El Pueblo, you know, her little beautiful pueblo. Well, she called it her ciudad because it grew to be bigger.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but you know, she was always true to our heritage, her beliefs, the way she grew up. And that's where we really collided, when I say, you know, the conflict was there. And it was really hard to grow up in a household where, like I said, I felt alone because my parents couldn't relate to what I was trying to do in the United States. And my brother is a much more of a recluse. He's the artist. I was very, very curious always. I wanted to explore and play. I was kind of like a tomboy. I used to build tree houses and skateboard and
I can
wear
totally see
skater
that.
shoes. Yeah, like,
I can totally
but my
see
brother
that.
was in the room DJing. You know, we grew music was the core of my household. Not that we were
Wow.
musicians, but music was just always playing. And my brother was a DJ, like I said. So he started with his little tapes, mixing tapes. Then he got his first turntable. So music has just always been such a part of my life, because whenever we, the memories that are great that I have of my family, I have many, but for me, it's eating at the dinner table together with no
Oh,
distractions.
absolutely. That's a beautiful thing right there. To have that. And I thank God you have those memories to like hold on to, you know, to take with you with that. When you started school, after that happened, did you want to be a journalist, or were you just like, I'm going to go to school and just kind of see where it goes? Or
Yes.
was this like your, I want to do this?
So it was like, I don't know how to explain it. It was, I think I was very much like, I'm going to go to college no matter what. Cause I had graduated high school. I was in junior college at the time. Yes, yes, yes. So when I was in high school, I knew I wanted to do it. But when my mom died, I had just began junior college. And it was like my first year of junior college. Yeah. So I did go through a time where I was like, I can't do this anymore. Like,
Yeah, I couldn't even
I need to
imagine.
focus, you know, I need to focus on my healing. But I didn't even know what healing was at the time. I was like, I don't even know. My world is crazy. It's just my dad and I now. My brother had gotten married right when everything happened. My mom was able to be at the wedding, but it was not good because she wasn't doing well. But you know, I definitely felt more lost than ever. And I never thought I would feel lost in that way, because I didn't cherish my mother the way I should have, is what I feel. You know, I know that I wasn't the worst kid. I wasn't doing bad things. It was a normal mother-daughter, you know, cultural difference, if you could say, I guess,
And I think it was those,
misunderstanding.
yeah, and I think it was those times too, because I grew up in those times, you know, 80s, 90s.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was those times because I had a very distant relationship with my mother too. You know, you just felt like you were on your own. You
Yeah,
know, like, because
so
they were just so different. They just grew up in a whole different, you know, they grew up in the 60s and 70s where, you know, it was so different. And now, I mean, even now it's like even more, you know, can you imagine? So I totally relate to what you said. Like, you just kind of felt like you were on your own and you had to figure it out for yourself, you
Yeah.
know?
And you know, looking back, that's what my mom did her whole life too. She
Yeah.
didn't know when she came to the United States. Are you kidding me? She couldn't even, she could speak a little bit of English, like I said, because she had gone to boarding school here for a little bit. She had some opportunity, but she felt so uncomfortable speaking English. And I admire her because we lived, you know, I admire her and my father. Like, they brought us here. They brought us to Anaheim Hills, California, where it is such a nice area. We were the poorest people on the block, but no one could really tell, because my parents did a good job at teaching us modesty and
Yes.
knowing what we are and not wanting to be something we could never be. And so, to answer your question, yeah, like, I felt, I knew I wasn't done with my life, but there, you know, you get, I was so
You're in
young,
that,
I guess
yeah,
maybe I was depressed, maybe
in between
I just felt
stage.
lost. Yeah, but my godmother Judy, who was my mother's best friend, was like, you're not quitting, you're going to finish school, you have what it takes, I think of you and I see you on national. And I'm like, godmother, stop it, you know, like, and that's the thing. I didn't grow up confident, and I believe sometimes that still is affects me in certain aspects of my life. I grew up alone and kind of like our parent, you know, my parents weren't the most supportive of many things, you know, the way I dressed, the things I wanted to do, the friends I wanted to have. So I feel like I always doubted myself, and my godmother was that reinforcement that I really needed in such a crucial time in my life. My father was too busy being in a bad place and being,
yeah, I can't imagine. Yeah, he is doing his own healing, and how does he, you know, take care of his daughter, you know, and like, and then help you through that difficult time, because it's, you're at a difficult age anyway, where you're kind of like growing up into your own. So you've literally dealt with probably like the worst thing anybody ever has to deal with in your young life, after losing your mom right after that, when you were going to college and you were 21 years old, you had to fight ovarian cancer, which is just breaks my heart, because I know you had to go through that, and I can't imagine feeling what you were going through after losing your mom. But just take us on part of that journey with you and how you were able to get to where you are today, because now you're what, 13 years? Is it 13 years now? 10, 13 years?
Yes, it'll be 14. I can't even do the math. Something along those lines. Yeah 14, because my mom's
almost 14 years.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Right. So survivor, you know, thank God. God bless. Thank God. I'm so happy for you that you are a survivor of 13 years. But how did that hit you at 21? Like, what happened? Like, how did you even get sick? Like, what?
Talk about another, like, what? You know, the reason I knew I had something wrong is I had a terrible pain in my abdomen. So at the time, I was finally finishing my junior college credits, because when my mom died and when I started college, I didn't do a good job when I first started. So I had to retake some courses because of that. But then I had to retake courses because of my mom. My mom's death took me back a semester. So two semesters I had to take over. And when that happened, I was like so close to the end. I wanted to transfer to San Francisco State University, being back in my dream, you know, home city. And I had to take some courses that summer to be able to transfer. But I think God had a huge different plan for me, because right before my diagnosis, San Francisco State messaged me, hey, you can't make up credits in the summer. If you want to transfer here for the fall, you must be done with your credits in the spring. And I just was crushed. So I was like, I can't go to San Francisco State, because I still had to do like two courses in the summer, and I was going to do it, you know, bang it out.
But they wouldn't let it.
They wouldn't let it. Well, shortly after that is when I started. I was working two jobs, and I was in school full time. And I was a waitress at Rosine's Mediterranean in Anaheim Hills, my favorite restaurant ever. Delicious food. It's family owned, so I was part of the family, and everyone thinks I'm Armenian anyway to begin with. My sister-in-law is Armenian, so it was Armenian Lebanese food. But I was rolling napkins. I was like, man, I don't feel good. I was getting a fever. That's how it started. Fever, light fever. And I, looking back, I was urinating frequently, and I was bloated. I thought I was gaining weight, but I was like, man, I'm taking an exercise course to be able to transfer to San Francisco State. You know, I was doing all these things. And I was working two jobs and going to school. How could I be gaining weight right now?
Yeah.
My pants were a little tighter. And that day that I felt the fever, I said, hey, can I go home? I don't want to roll the napkins anymore. I don't feel good. Yeah, go home. We'll see you in the morning. Well, I couldn't go in the morning. And then I had to go to school in the evening. And I was trying to tell my professors, like, I can't do it, because I woke up literally in the middle of the night with like an excruciating pain in my abdomen.
Gosh.
And I thought it was like, I couldn't understand what it was. So like getting up, I was like, oh, you know, I couldn't even get up. That's how bad the pain was. Like, you don't realize how much you use your abdomen to get up and move. And so after that pain, I was
trying you're by to yourself tell my, you were like alone.
My dad was there, but I was like, I'm pretty tough with pain, so I didn't want to tell him until I thought it was gas. Because before the rolling of the napkins that day, my dad did this whole charcuterie board with a jamon serrano he had just bought from Spain, and he was excited. So we ate all these different cheeses from Spain and meats. So I thought, I have gas maybe, because like this feels like when you run and you have those air cramps, and it's like it's so uncomfortable. It felt like that times 10. So I was like, maybe I have gas or something. I don't know. I don't want to say anything yet. So like I mentioned, I told work I couldn't go, but in the evening I had courses, and I was like telling my teachers, can I please skip class? I don't feel well. And they're like, Roma, this is finals week. You have to show face. So I was walking like so slow, because every movement hurt so bad. I could not do this without excruciating pain. So then I toughed it out all day. And then after school, it still felt bad. And people were like, you should probably get your appendicitis checked. You may have bursts. And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't want to go to the ER though. They're like, you really should go to the ER. Ended up going to the ER. That my father used to work night shift at the time at Sunday Delight. So I called him and said, hey, dad, like, I'm going to the ER. He's like, no, you're not going by yourself. He left work, picked me up, took me to the ER. And, you know, my tumor was so big that people, the doctors initially, just by doing a like physical exam, they thought I was pregnant with a baby.
Oh my God.
So they say that in front of my father, who's like so old school.
Right. And you're like, no, and that's not it. Like, I promise
no,
you.
No. And then he's pregnant. It was like the most like, I don't know, in a weird way, like a really humbling moment for my dad. Cause it's like, he couldn't be mad at me. He just wanted to know what was wrong, you know, to hear him say pregnant.
That's how big the tumor was.
It was like, yeah, it was like this big.
Wow.
So then they do a vaginal ultrasound and they say, you know, it's not on your uterus. Okay, thanks a lot for scaring my dad, you know. But I mean, at that point, I'm like, well, then what is it?
They're
like,
you have
a large mass on your ovary. They're like, we can't say much more. The doctor will tell you what needs to happen next. So the doctor's like, you need surgery ASAP. This thing can burst inside of you. And I'm just like, what? Where's my ovary? I was 21, you know. I'm like, ovary? What? Fallopian tube? Where are they? What's what?
Yeah.
So then they recommend me to a specialist, and they were really shocked because I had just gotten a pap smear probably 2 months before that. And they're like, I cannot believe your doctor didn't detect this. Da, da, da. But when I see the specialist, turns out ovarian cancer can grow so fast that I probably had it already when they did the pap smear, but there is no test for ovarian cancer. And the tumor was probably like this big, but it,
so it grew that much in 2 months.
It's their prediction. We don't know for sure, but
so there is no test. Is there still no test for ovarian cancer?
There is not a screening. There are blood work you could do for like tumor markers. And there is a genetic test that you could take that I highly encourage women to take. Mm-hmm. And it tells you about the gene that you may have that may be able to give you that, but nothing like a mammogram. There's nothing like that for ovarian cancer.
Wow.
That is why it's known as the silent killer, because like me, out of nowhere, it popped up.
This episode of Girl Talking Mass is brought to you by Coca-Cola. You know what, Genya? The holidays always find a way to bring us together.
I totally agree with that, Marissa, because honestly, whenever like I think about Coke and the holidays, it just reminds me of like me going to Mexico to visit my grandparents in the ranchito in Sinaloa. And every holiday, my grandma would be like, Kenia, ve tráeme una coquita de vidrio de la tienda. You know those stores, like they're like little stores
in las
casitas. Yeah. And they have the Coca-Cola fridges and stuff. It was just so funny. It's just a throwback. I just feel like Coca-Cola pairs perfectly with every holiday and get together. You know, like you just feel at home.
Definitely. Enjoy the real magic of the season by surrounding yourself with good friends and family, delicious food, and of course, an ice cold Coke.
Healthy 21-year-old, you know?
Yeah.
That I thought. And so the specialist was like, we need to do your surgery ASAP. And he was like so funny, Dr. Frederick Johnson. I will never forget him. He said to me when I got there, girl, you are 4 months pregnant. That's how big your belly is right now. And I said, jeez. What? I thought I was just gaining weight. But even if you think about it, 4 months pregnant is still not that
like
big.
Like a little bump.
But I had, that's how like bloated I was. Mm-hmm. So the tumor was protruding. It was pressing against my bladder, colon, and everything else. That's why I was feeling full quickly.
Every time
I was urinating so fast. Yeah, and every time I moved. They did the surgery, never mentioned cancer, but after they took the tumor out, they were concerned. And they got together with the tumor board. And I remember after my surgery, everyone was being weird, overly nice, because the doctor had already told my dad and my brother, this is cancer. And we didn't know that. I didn't know it at all. So I was in the hospital for 5 days because the surgery is kind of like a hysterectomy and you have to chill. Like you're like bedridden when you have a hysterectomy. I believe if you are an outpatient, you can definitely walk slowly, but like you need a rest. And for me, they had me in that hospital bed for 3 days and I had a catheter in for, you know, urinating and stuff. So they getting up, I felt like I was kind of learning how to walk again after those 3 days, you know?
Yes.
So long story short is they told me finally that I had ovarian cancer and that I have to go see the gynecologic oncologist. And I'm like, what? And they're like, you have to go through chemo. You're going to lose all your hair. I was just,
oh my God.
And then it made sense why everyone was like, are you okay? What do you need? Da-da-da. And after that, I did 3 months of chemotherapy. I met with Dr. Michael Berman, who truly, him and Dr. Frederick Johnson saved my life. Mm-hmm. I believe they told me, you're going to do this regimen. you will never have to deal with ovarian cancer again. We're that confident because it's so rare. My type of tumor was called dysgerminoma. Mm-hmm. You want to have a dermoid. A dermoid is like a mutant baby tumor. They have teeth, eyeballs, sometimes heart, mouth, like these tumors that can, our body, like female body is crazy. And the wow. reason I didn't know for so long is because our pelvis is made to store a baby. So you have an area there for the baby to live. And so my tumor was kind of living there, like chilling until it grew too big. And I was like, whoa, this is hurting. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I did 3 months of chemo from June, July, August. I would go once a month for a week for like 6 to 8 hours a day. So it was like going to school. So I had my own private room. And then the sixth day was hydration because, man, chemo kills everything about you. Yeah. I was on steroids. So I was super puffy cheek. I was your typical cancer patient. Mm-hmm. And I just was very blessed to have my tia Patty, who is my aunt, who was married to my uncle Tito on my, mm-hmm. my mom's side. Mm-hmm. And she used to be a chemo nurse all her life. And she had just recently like retired, but she prepared me for everything. And wow. if I didn't like, and then, you know, having all my mom's angels just yes. surrounding me. What do you need? My dad was mm-hmm. like, my never left my sight, you know?
I and bet, yeah.
My godmother and I, my friends, I just thank them so much for everything they did for me during that time because I would never take back my journey. My nurses were the most beautiful people, oh. making sure I was okay, you know? My main nurse, Mina Ibarra, she went through a similar situation as me. She was Catholic. The day that I started chemo, she gave me the sign of the cross. I'm like, Mom, are you there?
Right? Your mom sending a sign.
She said, I don't know if you're Catholic, but I have to do this right now. And I said, what? And she gave me the sign of the cross. And I was like, that was my mom. My mom is here.
Yeah.
And so people always ask me like, oh man, you know, yeah, it was difficult, but I was very fortunate to have the care that I had, the health insurance that I had and the support most of all. Mm. And thanks be to God, I got through it, you know, and I want to just share that message with women to yeah. listen to your bodies. Felix, my dog is playing with his toy.
I'm oh, so okay. Sorry. I was like, what is that? Like, I hear a squeak.
He'll jump up here. I don't know. Sorry, y'all.
No, you're good.
But you know, that listen to your body. I almost didn't go to the ER because I thought I had gas, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And had I waited, it would have burst inside my body. And so, yeah, that was
So that tumor was cancerous. And even though they removed it, you still had.
Correct. I mean,
so you had the cancer gene. Did they test you for it?
They didn't test me for it. And I've never tested for it again because they say my cancer was so rare. But I definitely should do it. And you know what? My gynecologic oncologist here, mm-hmm. Dr. Georgia McCann, mm-hmm. that woman is making strides for us. And she is fighting hard. She is fighting to find a screening for this. Wow. She's also like starting a specific type of blood test as well, aside from the gene test and oh, all wow, these that's things. Amazing. And she is a huge asset to the fight against ovarian cancer. And so I work with her every year. She comes mm-hmm. on the show. She can't do it, it's one of her colleagues mm-hmm. or one of our partner doctors with Great Day SA. Mm-hmm. But I should get that as well. But for me, I'm kind of like, I feel a little defeated. I know I'm not defeated, but I already had it, right?
So
I'm
yeah.
like, I don't even know if I want to know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, my mom had lung cancer. My grandfather had lung cancer. So I know that runs in my family. Diabetes runs in my family. Ovarian cancer apparently somehow runs in my family.
Yeah.
But they say it's carried on from your father's side. Mm. So to look into that as well. But no one that I know of on my father's side
ever
had it. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Well, thank God that you are healthy and here with us. And, you know, like you said, you know, for going on 14 years into your journey of, you know, being cancer free. So your message is we need to get checked. Like, you need to get checked. You need, you know, it has to happen because there's no yeah. way to find out.
And be your own advocate. Ask all the questions. I was like telling my doctor, what does this mean? What is it? Do I have to freeze yeah. my eggs? What does that mean for birth? They yeah. did remove one ovary. I totally forgot to say that.
So can you still have children, Roma?
I can still have children technically, okay. but I do have complications with my menstrual cycle. I'm dealing with that. I've dealt with that since actually before my cancer, which
wow.
I feel like, so, you know.
Was that part of it?
No, they don't say it was. And so I feel like that area in my life is very, makes me sad sometimes because I yeah. wonder if I'll ever be able to have children and mm-hmm. I've never truly desired them, but you know, I have gotten older and
yeah,
I feel differently now a little yeah. bit and not, and so we'll see what happens. But I
Yeah.
know that, you know, as I've said, what is meant to be
Will
and
be,
where my
yeah.
life is supposed to go, it will go. So.
Yeah. This episode of Girl Talking Mas podcast is brought to you by McDonald's, proudly serving communities since 1965. You know what, Ruby? We've all been to a birthday party at McDonald's. I remember when I was a little girl, I loved going to birthday parties at McDonald's. And I think when Mariah was small, I had at least four of her parties at McDonald's.
Oh, yes. And you know what? This year for Nathan's 14th birthday, I asked him, "What do you want to eat for your birthday meal this year?" And he said, "Mom, I want McDonald's."
I
So
love
just,
it.
yes. So to make it a bit more special, I decided to take him to the world's oldest McDonald's. And not only did we get that delicious meal, we actually had the crew members walk us through their museum. It was so much fun.
That is so cool. And I bet if you think about it, McDonald's crew members might throw more birthday parties than any other employees in the world.
Oh, yes, and I'm loving it.
Which we were just talking about. You're doing so great, and
So.
your next thing, like, I mean, I don't know how much more you can handle, but not only like being the amazing journalist that you are, and but you recently started your own business, the La
Yes.
Coronita hats, and I absolutely love them because they are custom designed by you.
Yes.
Tell us, like, what was your inspiration there? How did that come about? Like, what made you like decide this is what I'm gonna do?
So it's all having to do with my cancer journey. See what I mean? I would never take it
Wow.
back. Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was bald, I remember like because I have a lot of thick hair and my hair
Yes.
actually grew back just the way it was. I'm
Really? I know
very fortunate with
you have beautiful hair, by the way.
that. People always say, like, oh, it'll grow back thin, red, curly, and mine. I was like, oh man, whatever. As long as I'm healthy, I don't care, you know?
Yes,
But it
yes.
grew back normal. But the time frame when I didn't have hair, that was hard because it did fall off and it hurts too when it falls off. But that's a side note. When I shaved my head, everyone was freaking out. I'm like, just shave my head. I had my friend Katie Varchetto come over and I was like, shave my head now because she was a hairstylist. And she's like, are you sure? You know, shaking. My
So it
dad's
hurts when it fall.
crying.
It's hurting when it falls out. It hurts, really.
Scalp, because your hair follicles are kind of like, I don't want to say forcefully being pulled, but it feels sore. Very, your hair
Oh,
follicles feel
okay.
super sore. And so when you're like, it's coming out, that doesn't hurt. Like, I don't want to say this hurts, you know, but it would come out in
Soreness.
chunks. Yes, soreness. And then, you know, after a while, it's like blotchy. So when she was shaving my head, you could even see the blotches of where there still was hair and there wasn't. So it all falls off, y'all. I had three different chemos, types of chemos that were really aggressive. So
Wow. Oh my
yeah,
God.
so it was crazy.
How
But
long was your chemo, Rama? How long was it?
3 months.
3 months. Wow.
Yeah, 3 months. So then I remember, like, I got several types of wigs. I always felt like they were shifting, and I say wigging out. They were always wigging out. They were always moving, and I'm like, people could tell. Oh my God, people. And aside, you know, I had the, I say, cancer patient cheeks because the steroids give you that
Chubby,
puffiness,
yeah.
and you're like literally bald, so it's so obvious. You have no hair. I kept my eyelashes and my brows though. That was crazy. All the other hair fell off, but thank God I still had lashes and brows. But I just hated the wigs, so I started wearing hats. I would go to Target and get a little cute fedora hat, and I loved it. And you know, I was going through chemo in the summer in California, which is a dry heat, not humid like here, but it still gets in the hundreds in Southern California. So I was like, man, these hats are life right now. And I don't care who knows that I'm going through chemo. This feels better. I feel really confident more than I did without it because I felt so ugly without my hair, you know? And so the years went on. Obviously, I've been, thank God, I say healed, but I've
Yes.
been somewhat healed, I hope and pray. And my collection grew more when I moved to Texas and be, oh my God, you're the hat girl, you're the hat girl. So I had an event to benefit ovarian cancer, the Ovarian Cancer Coalition in 2019. It was called the Original Hat Pop-Up. So I had Michelle from Chic Teak was there with Lack of Color. I had Gorin Bros from Austin, all these the people that I love and admire. And I did this event and it felt so good. And my friends were like, dude, you're good at this. You could do this more often. Because I've always wanted my own purpose, my own hustle where I could do something to give back, incorporate my heritage, but be real to who I am. After that, the pandemic happened. And then I just did raffles every, because September is Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month. And so that's when I did that event. And then my friends were like, why don't you just start your own like online store? So during the pandemic, I started my own online store. It started, I was selling the brands that I liked. Then I found my artist. And so this was last April, February, March, April-ish of 2021. In September, I found my artisan in Mexico, and I was like, you can make my designs, anything I want. And it just worked out so beautifully. And so these are some of my designs.
Oh my gosh.
So this
they
is
are
called
so
Baby.
Beautiful.
This is Baby, 100% wool. And, ooh, you know, this is a Texan crown with a wide brim pencil curl. And this is one of my pride and joys. It's a custom hat for me. based
oh my
out
gosh.
Of my,
I love that
my
one.
Grandfather had a photo of a musician who had a hat like this on. And so I sent it to my artisan and he was like, you know, absolutely, I can make that for you. And this is beaver fur, which is a finer material.
Oh my goodness, that's absolutely
all,
beautiful.
Yeah. So this is the type of thing I always envisioned, but never was like, it'll never be real, you know, like
here you
the
are.
people I, yeah. And so it's not easy to run a small business
Mm-mm.
in Mexico. You know,
Mm-hmm.
you're at the beck and call of your artisan, but I wouldn't have it any other way because my artisan is so talented. The product is coming from Mexico, from hands
Yes.
that I want to support, you know, I support
Yes.
them. It's a beautiful working relationship, fair trade and quality, you know? And so I'm so proud of everything. And it's just growing is the hard part and competing
Yeah.
with your other, with
Yeah.
others. And people who are not hat collectors don't understand the price ranges and, but it's
Mm-hmm.
okay. You know, I've turned in a lot of non-believers into hatters
Yes.
and I also donate hats to people going through chemotherapy. That was the huge why. The why is I want people to feel how I felt during chemo, which was a little bit of comfort
Comfort
under
with that.
that hat brim, you know. And my business is named after my mother because her last name was Corona. And she had all of her nieces and she would call them her coronitas, which means small crown. Your hat
Yes.
is your small crown. And
Oh my
my
God, I
logo,
love it.
yeah, my logo is her handwriting. So my brother designed
No
it. He was,
way.
yeah, that's handwriting. So
Oh my God, that's
she would be,
beautiful, Roma.
yeah. So it all came together very well.
That is the most beautiful way to give tribute to your mom. Like she's
Yeah.
still with you, going, you know, seeing you through all this, and she would be so proud of you right now.
Thank
So
you.
proud of you. Oh my gosh. How beautiful. I did not realize that. Oh my gosh. I was like, what a cute name. And I thought about it when I saw your page. I was like, that is such a cute name. Like it goes so well. And it
Yes.
fits. I mean, now it even fits even more that it's like your mom's actual name.
Yeah, her last name, her maiden name was Luz Armida Corona. So
Wow.
she had really beautiful handwriting. So I was like, we had never seen her write Coronita. So my brother, with his graphic design skills,
Was able to
she
do
always
it.
spelled out Corona and then just added the ITA Coronita.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so it's very near and dear to my heart.
That's beautiful. And I, oh my gosh, I can't believe that. I just love how you were able to create that logo. Like, so special. That is so special.
Definitely.
Wow. Okay. Thank you for sharing that because you guys have to go follow her page. We're going to share all her information at the end, but you guys got to go and see her beautiful hats because they are absolutely gorgeous. And like you said, from the hands, you know, made, you know, so true to your Mexican heritage. Like it just doesn't get any better than that, you know?
Exactly,
Oh
exactly.
my gosh. So, you know, becoming a journalist, it's so demanding. It's such a demanding job. We were just talking about it.
Yes.
Like, thank God you don't have to get up too early. Like you're not like
Correct.
the first 5 a.m. people there, but when did you become the host of Great Day SA? How many years
I
has it been?
so unofficially I say 2019 is when the
announced.
former host left. No, 2019 is when I was doing that year solo. The pandemic hit. Man, my years. Yes. Because 2020 is when I was officially named the
Okay.
host. So I say I've been the host for the last 3 years because no
Yeah.
one else was doing it that year. It was me and I did it
Just
by
you.
myself during the
Yeah.
pandemic. But officially the last 2 years, but I've been on Great Day SA for 5 years going on six. So January will be total 7 years at Ken's Five. I was a news reporter first, truly doing journalism
Yeah, like
and
being out there
like
in
hard
the,
hitting.
yeah,
Yes.
like out there in the middle of everything.
Yes. All the breaking news, shooting my
Yes.
own video, editing my own video. It
Oh my
was
gosh.
crazy. And then, so I've been with Great Day for 5 years going on six, and I've been the host for 3 years. So
Oh my
it's crazy
gosh.
because I was co-host, reporter,
Yes.
producer. And then I was just co-host reporter. Then I was fill-in host. And then I was now, you know, official host. So You know, y'all, I never thought I was going to leave news because I was a diehard journalist and I wanted to help get the facts and continue on what everything I learned, you know, from my mentors, from my internships. And when Great Day Essay presented itself, it was in a time where I really needed it. I was asking my mom for guidance. And when I tell you that she's always with me, she was there with me because that door opened and I'm like, Great Day Essay, entertainment. I don't know about that, you know? And I tried out with Bridget Smith, the queen. And y'all have no idea. That was so nerve-wracking, but I did it. She, you know, and I was so excited to work with her, but then she announced she was leaving Ken's, you know? And that was like, whoa, a whirlwind. But to have that experience, I've gone from news reporter, trying out with Bridget Smith, becoming the co-host, becoming the host. It's been like, it's where you really need to hone in on what you've worked for and own it. You know, you need to own your gifts. You need to own what you're good at. Own it. You have to do that. And I own it in my own way. I'm not like overly confident or like, oh, you know, I still think negative about myself. I still get nervous, but I have a lot of gratitude for what I get to do every day. I know a lot of people want my job and wanted my job when things were like, oh, who's going to be the next host? You know, I saw the amount of people who wanted my job by hearing them say to me, oh, has anyone, or hearing other people say, you know how many people have applied to this job, you know? So it is a gift that has really changed my life. And the fact that I get to do that in San Antonio in a city that is so warm and beautiful and rich in heritage, and the people are just magnificent. They're like
I
so
love it
easy to
here.
live here and want to
It
be here
is.
forever, you
It
know?
is.
So I'm
Yeah, I'm
thankful. I'm
also,
thankful.
yeah, I'm, it's also my second home too, because I moved here from Michigan and I feel the same way. Never want to leave. I love being here. I love doing what I do here. I love, being in the, blogging, social media scene, doing things, events around the city and, connecting with the community and everything like that. Like I absolutely love it. So were you in journalism? In journalism, you did journalism somewhere else also before that?
Yes.
Because what my question was is what is your advice for the future journalists out
Sure.
there? So from working where you were before, because I think you were in Oregon, right?
Correct. Yeah, I was an MMJ there, which now is not doesn't exist, but it's the same thing. There, now you're a multi-skilled journalist where you shoot, edit your own videos. So my advice is if you're willing, because a lot of the industry has changed to that where you have to shoot and edit your own video. It is a lot to do. It's not impossible. I did it for 3.5 years. You can do it too, but be open and be ready for the challenge because it's not going to be easy. And there's a lot of accountability on you to get the story done, to get it edited in time, to meet your deadlines. But if you feel good doing it, and every day when you're done, you're like, I did that. That's what kept me going. It's like, I did it. I got the answers. I want to help this family who just lost their brother, their son, their father, their mom, you know, like a lot of my stories were shootings and murders and child abuse. What and it was hard. It's hard, you
That's
know, but
hard
you
to cut.
have to
That's hard to
be.
take in.
It is, but you are that voice for the people, and not just voice. You are the informant. It's not about you and how am I going to look on TV. You need to inform. You need to be honest and dedicated to what you're doing. If you want to be a news reporter,
A real
you want to be
news.
an yes, and if you want to be in entertainment, it's a whole different world. You know, I say for that especially, it's not about you because it can easily be like, I'm the host. This is, I want this, this, and this. But I'm happy I have a team that has taught me that even when I first started, it's not all about what I want, what I think would be best. It's a team effort and you're nothing without that team. But own, like I said, own your gifts. Be the best host you can be. Learn from your mistakes. Accept that you're not perfect. Accept criticism. And don't ever give up on your mentors, people you meet. Be consistent because that's what I did. I stayed in touch with people. I was persistent. When the opportunity presented itself with Great Day, there was nothing in me that was going to allow me to not like try it out at least, right?
Yes,
So I
exactly.
was I follow up, follow up, follow up, email the people, email the news directors, email like, don't give up. Don't give up because it's easy to give up and be discouraged when you don't hear back. Call them again. You know what they're going to say? No, okay, move on to
Move
the
on to the
next.
next.
And
Exactly.
it's you're learning as you do that. You're learning how to interview. You're learning what it feels like to be rejected. It's not a good feeling. We wish it was always yes, but it's not always going to be yes. But when you get that yes, cherish that yes. Take it as your blessing and do the best that you can because it is your reputation. You're the face.
You're the face, you're the voice.
Mm-hmm. And be yourself. There's nothing more beautiful than being yourself, because people see right through the fakeness, and our industry can be that way very much. And so just be yourself, be authentic, be honest, be a hard worker. And that means do whatever it takes to get the story. Be safe, of course, but make yourself proud.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely have to have the tenacity to be in this business. You know, like, you have to keep on going. You have to, like you said, you're going to get no's, and you just have to keep on going.
Exactly.
Exactly, yeah. Oh my gosh, Roma, I am so happy you joined us. I mean, San Antonio is so lucky to have you. Let me just say that. You're an amazing, like I said, you're an amazing, inspiring person here. I'm really thankful, like, that I've got to meet you, that, you know, that we get to, you know, hang out sometimes and be around each other. And like I said, I am just so proud of your journey and everything, you know, you've come through. You are total inspiration, honestly, from my heart.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It means the world to hear that, but, you know, I try to tell people I'm just like you, and that's what I want people to know, you know, like, we all have struggles and stories. And so
for sure,
thank you for the opportunity. And I'm so grateful and blessed to be in San Antonio and meet people like you. So thank you so much.
Oh yeah. I'm so glad. Well, tell everybody where they can follow you, where they can find your hats, how they can keep in touch with you and everything. Cause you know, and all that information. Cause I know they need to know.
Well, thank you. Yeah, no, y'all can follow me on social media if your heart desires to. My hat website is lacoronita.com. The same you'll find on Instagram, and my personal work Instagram is just Roma V on TV. And you guys have questions about the industry, you know, I always tell people that are aspiring, if you're serious, I'm more than happy to help guide you and what you may need to do, because I needed those mentors. So I don't mind doing that for you. But yeah, I'm on social media and I'm pretty responsive, and hopefully I'll see you guys on Great Day SA.
Yes.
Monday to Friday at 9 a.m.
That's you got to tune into Great Day SA. It's the best show. I love it. I watch it all the time. Well, thank you again, Roma. I am, again, so excited for you. I'm sure I'll see you soon, but I need to come in and I need to go look through your hats, because that's my next thing. I need a hat.
Come back and be a model with Rose, okay?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we got, maybe next time we'll do the hat thing. Awesome. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Girl Talking Mas. Don't forget to follow us on Latina Podcasters Network on Apple. And actually, we have our own app now, so you can download the Latina Podcasters app and you will find all the Latina podcasts there. And you guys, we are making moves. We're going to be doing some more events. So stay tuned, and thank you for listening. Bye, guys.